We're turning in our Bible reading, please, to the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark and chapter 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Last week we were looking at the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and some of the significances of the words that were said at that time. And we're going to read from the verse 11. So Mark chapter 11 and the verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And when they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Trust in the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of the Lord's precious word. We'll turn in our Bibles again, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and in the verse 13, we have our text. It says, And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. He found nothing but leaves. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word. Let us seek the Lord's face, please. Our gracious Father, we ask of thee as we come to thy word that thou will be pleased to give mighty help from heaven. Lord, truly we do confess that there is much of the leaves. Where is the fruit?
Lord, we pray that there might be that evidence of fruit in the lives of each one in this meeting.
Oh Lord, we cry to Thee for those that perhaps rest in some false profession. Oh Lord, we pray that these words will come and take a mighty dealing with their hearts. Oh Lord, we ask of Thee then that Thou will take Thine own word this morning. And oh Lord, we pray that it might be written in all of our hearts to that end. Give that help of the Holy Spirit of God, we ask in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. The account of the barren fig tree brings to our attention both the humanity and the deity of our Lord Jesus. For we read at the end of verse 12 that as the Lord was coming out of Bethany, that He was hungry. The reason why the Lord came then to this fig tree was that He might take off fruit in order to deal with that hunger. And so Christ then knew the common frailties of man. He knew what it was to experience tiredness. Here He knew what it was to experience hunger. He knew what it was to experience weakness. He is then that great high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. We see also here His great deity. For it said that He cursed this fig tree. And on the following day then, the disciples, they noticed how this fig tree that had been cursed, it was dried up from the roots. We read that in the verse 20. And this was something most unusual. A tree does not go from a state of having leaves to be entirely withered in a day. The normal process is one of wilting. The normal process is that the tree will generally look sorry for itself for a period of time. But here this tree was dead from the roots within a day. All evidence of life was gone. This was a miracle. It was not only a miracle, but there is a sense in which it was also a parable. This was a sermon in action. And there are vital lessons contained in it. We will, God willing, in a few weeks see that the Lord used this incident to speak about faith. But there are also lessons here on the subject of fruitfulness. It was a tree that had leaves but no fruit. The Lord came seeking fruit. Now for the reader like me who has no familiarity with figs, verse 13 might at first seem a bit confusing. For it speaks of the Lord coming that He might find fruit, and there being this disappointment. But it says at the end of verse 13, the time of figs was not yet. And so the question in my mind is, well, if the time of figs was not yet, why was the Lord looking for figs? And why was He so disappointed when there were no figs? Well, apparently that's only a question that would be asked by those that, like me, that are in ignorance. Because the normal process of fig bearing is that the fruit appears first. And so the fruit appears first, and as the fruit is coming into that stage of ripening, it is then that the leaves appear. And so then to see a fig tree with leaves, there would be an expectation that there would be fruit. Apparently it is something normal that there could be fruit out of season. And therefore it was not entirely unusual to see these leaves having already appeared. But there would necessarily then have been an expectation that there should have been fruit. The leaves really were proclaiming, I have fruit. But when the Lord came, there were leaves only. And it's important for us to bear in mind the context in which this
miracle in which this action parable took place. The tree was cursed the day after the triumphant entry. The tree was cursed the day after the triumphant entry. And the tree was cursed before the Lord went into the temple to cleanse it. So later in that week, the Lord would say, "Behold, your house, the temple, is left unto you desolate." Now, keeping that context in mind, through the Old Testament scriptures, there are a number of occasions, and we'll not look at all of them this morning, but there are a number of occasions where God's people, the nation of Israel, is likened unto figs or a fig tree. So the Lord called Israel in Joel 1 verse 7, his fig tree. Israel is described as the Lord's fig tree. In the book of Hosea, it says in Hosea 9 verse 10, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. As the Lord took Israel then, she was as a fig tree." But in Hosea 9 verse 16, it says, "Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit." And there is then obviously a parallel between Hosea 9 and Mark chapter 11. Now you think of what happened at the day of the triumphant entry. Here we have people saying good words. Here we have people with their lips speaking that which was good and right. They honored the Lord with their mouth, but their heart was far from him. There was evidence of leaves, but not so much evidence of fruit. And so then the Lord would say to the Jewish people, "Your house is left unto you desolate." And there would come, as it's explained in Romans chapter 9, that judicial blindness for a prolonged time upon the nation of Israel, as they were in blindness and without fruit. They would go on in that blindness and without fruit. But there is here also an application to the visible church today. There is an application to the local church today. There is an application to any that profess the name of Christ today. For there are many like this fig tree. They have the leaves, and they say many good things with their lips. They make that profession of Christianity. They, with their lips, take that place of being a Christian. But when the Lord examines that tree, there is no fruit. When the Lord comes to look, there's no fruit. Leaves only. And therefore it's possible to have some show of Christianity. It's possible to have the claim, "I am a Christian," and yet not be one. For the one who is truly a child of God, there will be the fruit. So in this chapter we have seen how the Lord used the donkey. We saw how that really is an illustration of the servant of the Lord. Now the Lord takes this image of the fig tree, and it's an illustration of the false professor. Of the false professor. So we're looking here at a fig tree with nothing but leaves. I want to see first of all then the deception of the fruitless tree. The purpose of a fig tree is to bring forth fruit. And so when the farmer would plant a fig tree, the reason why he plants it is that in time it will bear fruit. That's the only reason why he plants the fig tree. And in that sense, surely, it is like the vine. If you look with me in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, and remember in this chapter the Lord says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And he speaks then of the Christian being the branch. And in John 15 and the verse 16,
The Lord says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And why has the Lord chosen and ordained you? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The Lord has chosen his people to bring forth fruit. And for the one then that is truly a child of God, truly chosen, he will bring forth fruit. For the one who claims to be a branch in the vine then, there must be fruit. And for one then to say, I'm a fig tree with leaves, there must be fruit. As I was mentioning in the introduction, for the tree to have leaves, there was really this claim in it, I have fruit. But as far as this tree was concerned, it was a deception. There was the claim of fruit, but there was no fruit there. And so there are some who sit among the people of God with a profession of religion. They have great claims, they have the leaves, but they are deceivers. They're deceivers. Not only do they deceive others, very often they have deceived self. They're happy to be among God's people, and having deceived themselves, they even delude themselves into thinking that they are one of God's people. And all the time that they have the leaves, their repentance is unreal. Their repentance is not that true repentance. Rather, it's like the repentance of Saul, or the repentance of Ahab, or of Herod, or of Judas Iscariot. They can speak words, I am sorry. But there's not that true hatred of sin. No desire to truly turn from it, but rather a desire to excuse their sin. Their repentance, then, is unreal. Their faith is unreal. It's like the faith of Simon Magnus in the book of Acts. They have some believing, but they have more confidence in a preacher or in the church than in Christ himself. They are like Simon Magnus, then, for all their believing, still in the gall of bitterness. Their holiness is unreal. They have some pretense of holiness. Like Judas, they company with God's people. They can put on a good show, but their kisses are the kisses of deceit. Their humility is unreal. Their prayers are unreal. Yes, they can say long prayers, but so too could the Pharisees. Their prayers didn't rise any higher than the ceiling. Their worship is unreal. They say many good things with their mouths, but their heart is entirely somewhere else. There is deception. And here these words, they emphasize to us that there must be fruit. And there will only be fruit when there is that faith that truly rests in Christ. When there has been that true broken repentance before a holy God. And as there is that brokenness before God, that true saving faith, there will then naturally be a bringing forth of fruit. As there is that drawing of the sap of Christ, the fruit will come. There's no fruit, there's no heart work that has been done. It's interesting in the Word of God, the idea of sitting under a fig tree is very often used figuratively to describe rest, or to describe peace, to describe comfort. It's used that way concerning the reign of Solomon. It speaks in 1 Kings 4:25, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Micah
4, verse 4, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid.
And so there's this idea of coming under the fig and finding that peace, finding that comfort.
That same figure is used in the Song of Solomon of the apple tree. Remember how the bride there says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons.
I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And Christ then is to us as an apple tree or a fig tree. We sit under him with great delight. His fruit is sweet to our taste. But then we are to be like a fig tree for Christ to sit under. As Christ would come and sit under that fig tree, he desires not only to see the leaves, but he desires to see the fruit. Now, I want to emphasize that the Lord was not speaking against the leaves. There is nothing wrong with having leaves. In fact, God's people are to have leaves. And so for the one that has professed Christ's name, there is to be that evidence of fruit. The fruit will come, and as the fruit comes, that child of God is to speak for Christ and to declare, I belong to the Lord. What the Lord was speaking of was, or speaking against was, leaves without fruit. Fruitless profession. You remember those words in Luke 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits where they are in keeping, filling of repentance. There is to be that which is in keeping with true repentance and faith. So there is this deception of the fig tree. I have fruit, but there was none. I want to see then, secondly, the discovery of the fruitless tree. Because in Mark 11:13 it says, seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. The Lord came to find. The Lord came to examine. And so then the Lord is saying that where any individual has this claim, I am a Christian, the Lord says, I will examine you. Whether you are in the faith or not, whether you be one of mine or not, we can be sure the Lord knows them that are his. As Spurgeon brought out a very interesting comment, he said, the first Adam, that is Adam in the Garden of Eden, he came to the fig tree looking for leaves. But the second Adam, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, he came to the fig tree looking for fruit. And today the Lord, he would come to your heart. The Lord is looking for fruit. Now this idea of discovery is one that permeates through many of the Lord's parables. And over again through the Lord's ministry, the Lord spoke of how there are those that sit among the company of God's people. Those that are part of the visible church of Christ on earth. And yet they are not part of that true body. They're not part of that invisible church of Christ. And so we have the parable of the dragnet. And in that dragnet, there were all different types of fish. There were fish that were good, and there were fish that were bad, and they were all caught up together in that dragnet. And so, under the preaching of the gospel today, in the visible church, there are good fish, and there are bad fish. There are those that are truly converted, and there are those that are not. And in this time, the bad fish very often go unnoticed because they're there with the good. But in that parable of the dragnet, it speaks of how there came the dividing.
the bad fish were taken away. There will be a separation. We have the parable of the 10 virgins. The 5 without oil were found out. When the time came when the oil was needed, they were discovered. And so then, when you will stand before a holy God, and there will be that question, have you the oil? Have you the Holy Spirit? We don't have it. What a discovery. The parable of the wheat and tares. And both grow together, but at the time of harvest, there will be a division. The tares will be taken away and cast into the fire. And so the pretend Christian will have his lot with the enemies of the gospel. We think of the parable of the sheep and the goats. And apparently in the land of Israel, very often the sheep and the goats look very similar. From a distance, it's hard to tell the difference as the goats mingle among the sheep. But on the day of judgment, there will be a division. The goats on one side, the sheep on the other. And while they may look similar, the Lord knows the sheep. We have the parable of the wedding feast. And in that parable, there was someone that had the audacity to come into that wedding without wearing the wedding garment. Even though the wedding garment was freely provided by the host, he came in his own garments. The host, he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. This morning, perhaps you have that intention, that you would be among God's people in glory without the fruit. Perhaps you have that intention, that you would be among God's people in glory without the wedding garment. Being a goat pretending to be a sheep, being a virgin without the oil. Dear man, woman, young person, let me emphasize to you, you cannot expect to escape. There will be a discovery. The Lord, when he comes to find, if he doesn't find fruit, he won't pretend it's there. There must be fruit. So there is the deception of the fruitless tree, the discovery of the fruitless tree. And I want to see then the doom of the fruitless tree. Because in verse 13, it says, "And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And so he didn't find anything. And in verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it," the Lord spoke to the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereever for after. No man eat fruit of thee." Now, at first glance, that might seem a strange thing to say, because this was a fruitless tree anyway. So nobody was going to eat fruit of this fruitless tree. Surely the Lord was saying, your time of pretending has come to an end. You have pretended to have fruit, but you will pretend no more. And so in verse 20, it was pointed out by Peter to the Lord, this fig tree is dried up from the roots. And Peter really is saying, Lord, you're absolutely right. This tree will pretend no more. And there certainly never will be fruit of it, for the tree was destroyed. It was destroyed from the roots. You see, it wasn't just some wilting of the leaves. And if the farmer had have come and dug round the roots and dumped the roots, as we read elsewhere in the New Testament, that there might have been some recovery. Not in this case. It was destroyed from the roots. There was to be no repair. And as Peter said then in verse 20, he said, verse 21, he said, "Lord, you have cursed the fig tree
And that word cursed means you've doomed it. It will never live again.
This curse upon the fig tree then was really a confirmation of what the tree already was. It already was a fruitless fig tree. And it would be from this time forward that a fruitless fig tree. Does that not remind us of those words in Revelation 22 verse 11? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That is, the way you die will be how it is for all eternity. We could surely paraphrase those words in Revelation 22:11. He that is unfruitful, let him be unfruitful still. If you die in a state of unfruitfulness, you will be unfruitful for all eternity. The Lord then is speaking of eternal condemnation, the punishment reflected in sin. If you pretend to have fruit but there's none, then the punishment will be this. You'll have no fruit for all eternity. You will then be a tree that is worthless, cut down and cast into the fire, eternally condemned. And you will reap what you have sown. You will experience what this tree was to experience. You will be doomed. Isn't it interesting how we read there in verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it. The Lord actually stopped and addressed the tree. Most unusual. And I believe what that emphasizes to us is this. That this fig tree does speak of the pretender. Because remember those words in Matthew 25 verse 41. That parable of the sheep and the goats. The Lord will say to the goats in his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. The very word that the Lord used to address the fig tree. Christ said, this is the word that I will speak to the pretender in that day of judgment. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And there will be no escape the doom of the fruitless tree. Perhaps there is one in the meeting this morning, and these words concern you. And you say, oh, I long that I would be a fruitful tree. And today before the Lord, you examine yourself. As you examine yourself, you see your sin. You see the weight of your sin, the mountain of your sin. And that examination drives you into despair. And you profess the name of Christ.
Perhaps you aren't even a true child of God this morning. One that truly loves the Lord. You have that saving faith. There has been that true repentance, that true brokenness. Yet you see this mountain of sin, it brings despair. You're not alone in that despair. The great hymn writer William Cooper,
he went through such times of deep distress and times of great doubt. He said, one moment I thought myself shut out from mercy by one chapter, and the next by another. And there were long periods in the life of William Cooper, as he would go through the Word of God, he could only see himself to be condemned. And yet he was a true believer. And he says, I particularly remember that the parable of the barren fig tree was to me an inconceivable source of anguish. This very parable, he says, was to him a great source of anguish. I applied it to myself with a strong persuasion in my mind that when our Saviour pronounced a curse upon it, he had me in his eye and pointed that curse directly at me.
And perhaps there's someone here in the meeting, and you're like William Cooper. You have that genuine faith, and there is fruit in your life, and yet all you can experience are great doubts. How can a soul like you in distress find help?
There is help found as you will be drawn to think on Jesus Christ. Remember the context here. The Lord was on his way into Jerusalem,
and events were shaping up for the Lord's crucifixion within a matter of days. The Lord said to this fig tree, "You are cursed." Remember those words that I read at the beginning of the meeting? Galatians 3:13. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the Lord then was cursed in the sinner's place. The Lord was made sin for us. And for the true child of God, our sin has been taken in its entirety, laid in its entirety upon Christ. And he, seeing all of that sin, has made a curse for us. He bore that eternal condemnation in our place. And today, if you feel barrenness, if you feel a lack of fruit, I point you to Christ. Remember those beautiful words in the book of Hosea 14:8. From me is thy fruit found. Your fruit will not be found by trying your best to bring it forth. Your fruit will be found by feeding upon Christ, by resting upon him, by taking him at his word, by continuously meditating upon his finished work. And today maybe there is one in the meeting, and you are a false professor, or you have never even made that profession of faith. Today, I equally point you to Christ. How can you have fruit as you will turn in saving faith to Christ? Come acknowledging I am an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner. I am one that deserves that pronouncement. You cursed, go into everlasting fire. But see that great provision that has been made for the sinner. That Christ so loved the sinner that he was cursed in the sinner's place. John Newton was a great friend of William Cooper. And very often in those times of distress, John Newton would go and minister to Cooper from the Word of God. Newton penned these words, "I saw one hanging in the tree, in agony and blood, who fixed his loving eyes on me. As near his cross I stood." And you see yourself there today at Calvary, an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner. And Christ, in that agony of the cross, he fixed his loving eye on a sinner like you. A second look he gave which said, "I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live." And oh, today that your eyes would be lifted toward Calvary, that you might see Christ as you feed upon him, that there might be the bearing forth of much fruit. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts.